What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
When ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready.
All right, and welcome to another episode of What Is TWS Podcast. As always, I am your boy, J. Flan, and across from me is my brother, Rich Nerd.
Back again.
And we are the White Pants Society. It's been a minute since we've been out here, but we back. Fuck it. Like, we back. Man, I want to shout out to hashtag Blackout Pod for checking out my For the P challenge verse. I appreciate it. Yeah, it has been a minute since I've been a rapper. So I'll have to send you guys some links to some old music that I did. But
archives.
But there is more J. Flan music out there. It's just hard to find. You got to be a connoisseur. But fuck it. Man, it's been a lot going on. This probably be a quick episode. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time here. Just going to talk about some shit. What's good with you, Rich?
Man, it's taking life one day at a time, staying busy, you know, got to do what you got to do, running around with family, it's always stressful, but I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Glad to have another day above the dirt.
Man, I'm going to tell you some shit that I spoke to Rich about this briefly earlier, but some shit that really bothered me the other day. So, I come in the house.
Story?
Yeah, man.
That's a good one.
So I come in the house, right? And so I'm a big Gil Scott-Heron fan. Like, I love Gil Scott-Heron. One of my favorite pastimes when I was back home in D.C. was to get on the subway and get some, you know, get some nice headphones. But the open back headphones, so that, you know, your new people can hear your music outside. And I would crank up to the highest volume.
You've been petty.
I've been petty. Like, petty is a lifestyle, man. This is me. So yeah, I get the open back headphones and I crank the volume to 10 and I would play The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. I do that like right on the red line when all the white folks was on there. If you're from DC, you understand the red line. Shit, like, you know, if I'm going up, you know, in certain directions, I'm on the train with nothing but white folks. And I just be on there like militant as fuck, like staring people right in the face, like the revolution. You would not be able to stay home, brothers. You would not be able to sit down, plug in, and cop out.
It's that Mike Jernigan shit.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, yeah, I was on some real militant shit. So Gil Scott-Heron, one of my favorites. I love him. So I'm home the other day, and I just, for whatever reason, like, I'm singing "Home Is Where the Hatred Is," And that's one of my favorite Gil Scott-Heron joints, because I think I've struggled with, you know, certain substance abuse problems throughout my life, you know. And one of the lines in the song is, you know, they say kick it, quit it, you know, but have you ever tried? Like, you know, like, people just be telling you, you know, let go of shit, and they don't really understand, like, how difficult that may actually be. But anyway, I digress. So I'm singing the song. I'm singing the very beginning of the song. So I'm going to do my best Gil Scott-Heron impression real quick. You know, so I'm in the house. I'm a junkie walking through the twilight. I'm on my way home. I left 3 days ago and no one seems to know I'm gone. And as soon as I get to the "I left 3 days ago and no one seems to know I'm gone," Hamps, my wife, starts laughing hysterically. Like, I mean, like, also, she like, nobody cares about that nigga. What kind of psychopath did I marry, yo? Like, that is one of the, like, most depressing, like, you should feel that in your soul when you listen to "Home Is Where the Hatred Is."
Gil Scott need love too.
And my wife is, and when he was homeless, he was probably in D.C. Like, he was homeless in D.C. Like, I think during that part of his life when he was homeless, he was living in D.C. And it just caught me off guard. Like, I had never heard anybody react to that song in that way. And, like, the song, it's "Home Is Where the Hatred Is." Like, there's nothing funny about this fucking song. But yeah, hey, I'm trying to tell you, the way she was laughing, it was like, like she was getting that hearty, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, from the soul laugh. Like, nobody loves you, nigga. Like she was.
That was pent up.
Hey yo, she was feeling that shit. I was like, man, a junkie walking through the twilight though. He say, and I think it might not be a bad idea if I never go home again. Like this is some heartfelt, like
he had to get something off his chest.
Fuck with you. I love Gil Scott, man.
Apparently everyone is not a Gil Scott fan.
I don't think she's not a fan of the song. I think she enjoyed. Like, I played the rest of the song, and he's talking about like you know, people watching you die. And I think the whole she still had like a smirk on her face. Like, I'm really wondering, like, did I marry a psychopath? Like, did I marry somebody who has no feelings toward other human beings? She peeking through the door right now on some psychopathic type shit, right? Like the look on her face right now is like, I kill everybody in this room. Y'all keep talking about me, and I wouldn't even bat an eyelash.
After I leave, I'm gonna text you like once every 2 hours. Just
make sure I'm okay.
Make sure you're okay.
She looking right now like, I kill both of y'all and then read at least bedtime stories. I wouldn't even bat it. I wouldn't even think about it. A junkie walking through the twilight. She laughing. Look. Oh, man. That's my life, man. That's my life. That's my life living with my wife that I love, you know, more than anyone
very,
in this
world. Very, very much.
Very, very much. I want to say more than anyone in this world because Elise is right there. And I wouldn't have Elise if it wasn't for her. So we on that. All right. So speaking of parenthood, right? So, all right. I'm going to talk about this too. So my daughter, right? She has a habit. Like, when she eats, she's a lip smacker. Like, she's everything.
Enjoying the shit out.
And it'd be like fucking with me because I'm not a big vegetable person, right? Like, I don't eat a lot of vegetables. And right now,
feel like you missing out.
And right now, my daughter is like vegetarian to the I don't know what the fuck is to the extreme. Like you try to give her some meat and she be like, "The fuck you mean, dog? Like, what is this?" Mm-hmm. What is this? Where's my broccoli? Where she be on that DMX shit. Where's my broccoli? Give me the carrots, nigga. What are you doing? Right, she don't want the meat. Pause. But so she was eating some broccoli the other day, and she was and it started fucking with me like, this broccoli sounds like succulent and amazing. Like, maybe I am missing out on fucking broccoli. Yeah. Like, cause she made that broccoli sound good as shit though. I don't understand. I gotta try broccoli again. I'm going to be disappointed. We all know, but fuck it though.
I mean, I had some broccoli yesterday that,
you be trying to Emeril Lagasse your broccoli. You be having like, bam, like Parmesan crusted.
Man, listen, I'm telling you, it'd be good. But nah, so shout out to the Mrs. RG Mode. She been chefing it up. I haven't cooked one day this week. She
was like, you know what? Oh shit.
She was like, I gotta do it. I wanna cook.
She made me get the high pitched voice, son.
She made these pork chops one day. They was good.
Oh shit.
Potatoes.
Hey.
Whooped up this baked chicken.
Damn,
that was good with the sides.
That reminds me. I gotta go back and listen to the it's the H. I gotta listen to them dudes, the Blackout podcast again.
Yeah.
Hashtag Blackout pod again. Cause they keep talking about this seasoning. I can't remember the name of it right now. But I gotta feel like I'm hearing good things about this season. Like,
what
people
kind of seasoning?
It's some sort of rub. You know, pause. But I gotta I gotta check this shit out. And again, you know, alright, so let me talk about that verse that they reviewed on the show. I do wanna talk about that. Because as an artist, I think and maybe it's just me, but no, it's the other artists that I've been around. Like we put a lot into our work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and I'm not one of these new generation rappers where it's just like, you know, you push some shit out because it rhyme or stick to the beat or whatever, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, nah, Like verses to me are works of art. It's poetry. Yeah. It's a lot that goes into it. So I definitely felt like those dudes felt the verse. They caught a lot of the punchlines. They was right there with it, you know. And I appreciate that. They appreciated the verse. They you know made it clear they wanted to hear more music from me, and I got to give them more music. Yeah. But one of the things I wanted to do here was I wanted to do my little like Jay-Z Decoded type moment, because I do feel like there's layers to the verse that maybe not everybody understood.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I don't know. I want to make sure that y'all understand.
I liked it.
That it's deeper than music. Like, you know, it went a little further. So it, you know, the whole thing was for the pussy, right? And then here's, I'm saying pussy again, and I don't like the word. It's hurting me. My lips burning right now because I said the shit twice. But the whole point of the verse for me was to kind of show a progression, to show where I was maybe at 18, 19, 20, to where I am now at 36. So if you listen to the verse, you'll hear that, you know, in the beginning, I am in that, you know, first of all, I lay the groundwork. I let you know, like, I might rhyme for the pussy. I might flash back to 09 for the, how old was I in 09? I said that shit because it rhymed, but let's actually figure out how old I was. Yeah, oh nah, like it's what we 2017 right now, and I'm 36.
Minus
10 at 3. That's a lot of math, nigga. What we talking about? What we talking about? We talking about 20?
What's that? 26.
All right, 26. All right, all right. So I might flash back
something like that
to 09 for the puss. All right, and then I talk about I might catch a case. I might skinny dip cross Crystal Lake. Like that's shit you do as a young dude. Mm-hmm. For the ass, like, you know, like you, I'd rather say ass than pussy. I don't know why. I just would rather. That's how I feel. So it's like at 26, yeah, I might catch a case. I might skinny dip across a lake where a nigga that kill people, you know, live. I might do some some nondescript shit in the pursuit of a sexual favor. Like I really don't like that word. Anyway. All right, and then I move on to like, where did I go from there? I was like, you know, I might sit through a date, but I guarantee you I don't wait, you know. So I grew up a little bit, you know, I'm dating, you know, but I don't, you know, but I'm dating for the purpose of getting the ass, you know. So if you don't give it to me, I'm moving on to the next joint, you know. And then it went to that whole, you know, I put a lock on the pussy, you know, like you grow up and you, that's your girl. You want to have this, you know, and you want everybody to know that's yours. You know, and then, you know, by the end of the verse, it's, you know, I protect and provide, you know, like it, we grow up throughout the verse.
Exactly.
So there's jokes in the verse about, you know, Crystal Lake. Here's the one I'm not sure anybody got. And that was the whole 45 joint. Did you get the 45 line?
What was the line?
So the line is, I say, I might preach for the pussy. I know it's mine when I reach for the pussy. So I ain't got to pull a 45 on the pussy. Shorty know I pack heat all the time for the pussy.
Yeah. Sorry. I assume you were actually talking about a 45.
No. I'm talking about Bush.
Okay.
So I say, I know it's mine when I reach. You feel me? Got I know it. It's mine when I reach for the pussy. Damn, so I don't.
I felt like I caught most of the pros. In that verse.
So that was the one line I don't think anybody caught. I was like, you know, I know it's mine when I reach for it, so I don't have to pull a 45. Speaking of Bush, I ain't got a you know what I'm saying? Shorty know I pick heat all the time for, you know.
Trump.
So that was the Trump. That was the Trump line. And I'm not sure anybody got that. So I just wanted to have my little Decoded moment. I just wanted to do it because, you know, it was some fun. I only did it, you know, for fun. I did it because I felt like, you know, I just wanted to play around. I felt creative at the moment. So let's do it.
I listened to it a few times. First time I listened to it just because it's like my brother put out some music. So, of course, I'm going to listen to it off of GP just because that's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
When your family do shit, you're supposed to support them.
Support? Say it again, Nick. When
your family do shit, you're supposed to support
them. You're supposed to support that shit, Nick. Then, goddamn.
After that, I listened to it again because I wanted to hear exactly what the words were. Because the first time I listened to it, during the support stage, actually, it was catchy.
Yeah.
So I played it again, and I was like, oh, okay, I see what you're doing. And then I was like, I know Jared. He gonna be an asshole on this track. And it's gonna be some shit that he think like somebody knocking. He gonna attack somebody. It's gonna be a jab or something.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I listened to it again, and I was like, this is actually pretty fucking good. And then I played it for Renee, so I ended up listening to like a fifth and a sixth time. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. I'm proud of it.
Most of the pros. And hey, I thought it was good.
I'm proud of it. Like, you know, for somebody who's been out the game for a minute, who just decided to fuck around with some lyricism because it's what I enjoy doing. I was proud of it. And it's really made me want to get back. I was just talking to 1-3 before you got here, and we was talking about, you know, that that's there's a lane open right now for our generation that still loves hip hop,
mm-hmm.
and maybe, you know. And no diss to mumble rap or whatever you want to call it. It's just not our shit. But, you know, but there's a lane open for people who was looking for what we used to do. So it might be a project coming. I don't know. Hashtag Blackout Pod. Y'all be the first ones to know. I appreciate you, bros, though. I really do. Thank you for the love. Thank you for reviewing the verse and appreciating it for what it was. That definitely meant a lot to me.
Yeah. I don't think I put that much. So I put thought into mine. I don't think I put that much. I honestly just wanted to do it for fun, and I really wanted to see how many times I can say pussy. Like, I don't particularly like the word myself. I never really say it in my actual life.
Yeah.
So I was like, how many times can I say this during this verse before like it just completely gets on my nerves to where I can't talk anymore? Like, I just kept writing, and I'll write it again, and then I write it, and I write it again, and I got to the point where I was like, I can't even make another sentence. It was bothering me, but mine was reflective of just my life as it stands over maybe like the past 4 years.
Yeah.
So it's just me and Renee's relationship, our progression, nothing past like this past 4 years, but it was just me. It was us, me being an adult about the situation, just doing what I got to do. So no hitting meanings, yet still, if it was a verse, a line in there that you didn't catch, and I intentionally did not mean to guys anything, then I don't know what's wrong with you.
I don't know what to tell you, dude.
Yeah.
That was straightforward as it gets, mobile.
Nothing should have went over your head.
Man. All right. So, let's see. What's some shit to talk about right now? All right. Let's talk about this Lonzo LeVar Ball situation.
Speaking of Lonzo.
All right. Go ahead.
Real quick. I feel like I need to get this off my chest. Uh-huh. I want to admit it. You guys are probably going to ridicule me. I did it just because I watched episode 1 of the Lonzo Ball family.
Ball family TV show? Yeah. Okay.
I watched episode 1. I was like, they really got a show? What are they going to talk about? So I watched episode 1 and I was like, I don't feel any better about the family. I don't necessarily feel any worse, but it was pretty much what I thought it was going to be.
Is it going to be?
Yeah. It,
fuck it though.
He's got too much of a tight hold, like on them, like they, like, what did you have for breakfast? Can I tell him, Dad? Can I tell him? Like, what? It's fucking annoying. Like, he has to approve everything.
So, and that's kind of where I want to go with this whole discussion. Like, so I think LeVar has been catching the most flack because he's so outspoken about his sons. He always had something to say, and he's grabbing the headlines, and he's grabbing some of the shit. Because Lonzo really hasn't said shit. Like, Lonzo made that one comment about Nas not being hip hop, so fuck him for life. But other than that, like,
and at the same time, we already know why he said that, so we can get past it.
All right, okay. So back, let's back it all the way up, because I was backing all the way up. All right, so. I just, growing up, right? We grew up in R&B / hip hop era, right? So when you was a kid, like, you maybe wasn't into hip hop like at 8 or 9 or 5 or 6. Maybe at that point you was a R&B kid. You was listening to Michael Jackson or Whitney Houston or whatever the fuck. But, you know, eventually you became a hip hop kid. Mm-hmm. If somebody said, like, Marvin Gaye, to you. You wouldn't be like, Marvin Gaye ain't music. Like, I don't never remember feeling that kind of way. Like, I could say some shit.
It's a different generation. These kids.
What is the difference? Like, what is happening with these motherfuckers? Did they feel that they got
different? They don't have it. Like,
they got the juice to say that Nas is not, like, just say. I'm not familiar with Nas's music. I don't know nothing about Nas.
Like people like Run DMC and Marvin Gaye. It wasn't my generation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you knew better than to diss these.
I know better than to diss them, but I also know enough to actually give it a chance. And in doing so, you know, I developed an appreciation. So I did go back.
Yeah. But even if you, you didn't go back, you knew that, you knew they were whoever they were.
You know what it is? It's this generation is totally different. There's no such thing as Big Mama anymore. There's no such thing as respecting the elders. I don't see anybody respecting anybody. There's no real bonds. There's no getting to know somebody on an emotional level.
I mean, LeVar,
face to face contact.
LeVar ain't playing no Nas in the house. Like he ain't putting the fear of hip hop in these niggas.
He probably not. But
I'm just saying.
I don't think that's something that anyone from our generation would have.
I don't remember. I'm not saying you gotta respect. You gotta know these artists and you gotta like revere these artists the same way that we revere these artists, but. I didn't know who Chubby Checker was as a kid, but I knew enough about Chubby Checker to know that I'm not going to badmouth Chubby Checker, like, you know, or Smokey Robinson or motherfucking we could just go up and down the list.
Especially knowing that these people, they had verifiable resumes.
Verifiable resumes. Maybe it's because we not in the era of sampling no more. Like, do these new beats is all the same beat. They just a little 808 and some shit they don't sample no more. Like, they ain't no more samples.
Who did Tiny Boat make fun of?
What the fuck is Tiny Boat?
Little Yachty.
Little Yachty said that Biggie wasn't... Lil Yachty said that Biggie wasn't hip hop, but I mean, he came back and backtracked on that. He was like, he didn't know Biggie's music. He had a chance to listen to some of Biggie's music, and now respects him for what he is.
You know, to a certain extent, I gotta feel like
that's
bullshit. That's bullshit. I can't fathom that anyone can be in the hip hop rap industry and not know who Nas is or Jay-Z is or Tupac or Biggie or Ice Cube and take it to keep going. Eazy-E, Run DMC. There is no way. Like,
can't know who you can't Kool Herc, Afrika Bambaataa, Ice-T.
You gotta know the progression. Everybody might not like all of them. Bambaataa, Kool Herc. I love them niggas. You know, pause. But I listen to the music. You may not be a fan of theirs, but you gotta know who they are. It's for you to be in hip hop and rap and all of that stuff now, you have had to at least one time looked at these dudes' resumes.
But I, and it feels unique to hip hop because I was just sitting here thinking, like, when you hear people like LeBron talk or you know, these NBA players. They talk about past NBA players and, you know, like, and they study history. But it's like hip hop artists don't study history. They have no appreciation. These new dudes don't seem to have an appreciation for history. And that's what I think is drawing the generational gap more than anything else is that you don't appreciate what created the pedestal that you're sitting on right now. Like if it wasn't for Big, if it wasn't for Pac, if it wasn't for a lot of these dudes, rap wouldn't be mainstream in the way it is right now. You wouldn't be able to do Sprite commercials right now.
The culture is different, and you got to see it's even with some of the younger dudes out right now, it's a big line between the J. Cole's and the Kendricks and the Drakes.
Right.
Just two,
but it's like you don't
people like Little Yachty and stuff like that.
You don't even need J. Cole to come out and say, "I know who Biggie was, I know who Pac was, I know who Nas was."
You can listen to his music
and be like, "Yeah, he knows who Biggie
that's
was."
What I'm saying. That's why I say it's a fine line, and it's not like it's a big difference, but those couple of years and the mentality and the mindset, you can tell like they're true, you know, to hip hop culture.
Yeah.
And it's in them. So therefore, if it's a part of you, it's a part of life, and you're actually hip hop, you're gonna research, you're gonna study, you're gonna learn your history. These dudes got on the mic and they was like, boat. And somebody was like, oh. And
yeah.
Did it again.
Hey, it's sad. All right. I blame myself to this day because I didn't go as hard as I should have gone in my heyday of rap when I could have been a rapper. Yeah, I gave up. You know why I gave up rap? Because rap is so competitive, and it reached a point where I couldn't listen to music without listening to it. Like, what could I have done better? Like, you know. I was listening to other dudes' songs, like waiting for them to take a bar off so I could figure out how I could remix that song, body it, you know, and make a name off of doing their song better than they did, you know? Like, it just, so I couldn't even be a fan no more. Like, I couldn't even enjoy the music no more. Like, it was straight work all the time. Like, you know, the thing I loved more than anything had now become like a job, yeah. You know, like a straight up every day, every song job. So that was really the reason I left it alone. All right. We're going to encapsulate that conversation. And we're going to go back to Lonzo and LeVar, right? So so what is it? Lonzo right now, I think, is averaging close to a triple-double in the league. But it's pretty much based off of one game. He had one game that was, like, crazy.
What was it? He was, like, one assist shy or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. And then the other two games, like, he scored, like, 3 points, 8 points. Like, it was, you know, dumb numbers. And his percentages are low. But so they playing the Wizards tonight. I'm not watching the game. I wish I was. But they interview LeVar. We keep giving this nigga chances to talk. And every time he talk, he say some shit that we got to talk about. But they interview him. And they asked him about the game tonight. And he was like, the Wizards better beware, because Lonzo ain't going to lose two games in the same week. You know, whatever, whatever. And then, you know, Marcin Gortat came out and was like, John Wall is going to torture him for 48 minutes. And then John Wall came out and said, you know, it's, what did he say? Like, no holes barred. Like, he's all in. Like, he's going in. Like, I'm paraphrasing. I can't remember exactly what John Wall said, but it was like, no limits. Like, I'm in. Like, so LeVar is like, he's cashing checks. That we not, yeah, he putting the target on. So at what point, because I think we've all tried to stay away from LeVar a little bit, because it's like, you can't fault. Nobody wants to get mad at a black father for loving his children, being proud of his children, raising his children. He's done, obviously, an amazing job of raising three sons. And Lonzo, to LeVar's credit, seems to be a great kid. Like I said, he's not flashy. He's not talking. He's playing. He's playing hard. He's doing what he has to do out on that court. But it's LeVar. Like, at what point? I think all of us, like, right now for me, like, if I wish LeVar Ball was my dad. I wish I'd have had that coming up. Maybe shit would have been different for me.
Yeah, that unwavering, unyielding support.
And that willingness to drive you to be what they know you can be. Like, I feel like you know, your kids have potential, but if somebody doesn't, like, almost sometimes force you to live up to that potential, like, who knows?
But then it's like, at a certain point, like, when does his overboisterousness, like, become a hindrance?
Right.
And I get it. You know, the more LeVar stays in the media, the more Zoe stays in the media.
But Zoe made it, though. Zoe is in the league. He's a starting point guard for the Los Angeles Lakers. Like, is now not the point where you can let him create his own legacy?
And then, so that was my next question. So is it to the point where Zoe has to say, you know what, you know, I get it, you got me here, you know, you wanted the attention on me, the attention is on me now, but it's almost as if, are you pushing because you think that I'm going to underperform and I can't get the attention myself? Or you know what I mean? You
just That's want a good attention point. On That's you. A very good
you
know, point.
If you believe in me like you say you do,
let me go out there and earn that.
Let me shut them up.
Hey, I'm going to get that spotlight. You don't have to put the spotlight on me. I'm about to grab it. I got it. So, I got it, Pops.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because he got the two others. Like, He pulled LiAngelo out of he's homeschooling LiAngelo now or some shit. And where's the other son? Like, fine. You know,
is,
all
is right. Is he like next year going to?
First of all right, message to black people. I love my people. I love y'all. I swear to God, I love all of y'all. But this name shit. Like, I you want to know some funny stuff? Like, so, all right, so no diss on my wife's family, but you know, my wife's name is Tammy. Her brothers are Timothy, Thaddeus, and Terrence.
So teed up.
Teed up. Teed up. And when we were having our daughter, like, that was part of the discussion. Like, you need to keep it in the family. Like, put a T on that shit.
No, that's not my thing. That's y'all thing. I'm happy for you.
Right.
But we're gonna start something new on this side.
Right. But it's like, yeah, so your name is LeVar. You got Lonzo, LiAngelo, though. Yeah. And what's the other? I can't remember LaMelo. The other one. LaMelo. Word? Like LaMelo? LaMelo? My nigga. Like, all right, folks. Like, and I got people on my side of the family. I got a set of cousins that's China, Kenya, and is it Paris? No, it's China, Kenya, and India. Mm-hmm. And I got another set of cousins that's Mercedes, Porsche, and I don't want to say the girl name is Ferrari, but it might be. It might motherfucking be. I don't know. I'm just saying, people, like, come on.
Yeah, that was
fuck out of here. That's come on. Fuck out of here. Come on, man.
I'm surprised they didn't get teased more. That's probably why they joined the team.
That's how you become an athlete. I'm convinced that's how you become an athlete. I look at brothers like Santana Moss and Sonora Moss. If your name is Santana, you got to be strong or fast. It's the only options you got. If your name is Sonoris, strong or fast.
Or funny. At the end of the day, you got to have a talent.
You got to have a talent because niggas is coming for you. Yeah. You got Barkevious. What was it? Barkevious Mingo. And what was his brother's name? Hutavious. Barkevious and Hutavious. You got to go to the gym. Like, you got no other choice. You got to bulk up.
See what happened to Thaddeus.
Hey, I didn't say it, Thaddeus. Rich said it. We got to get
Thaddeus
them shirts.
Got a bodybuilding name.
He got a body. We got to get them shirts made for Thaddeus Millennial. He's a... We doing it right now. We saying it. It's going to happen. Thaddeus Godfrey in the Olympics 2020.
It can happen.
We're going to get the shirt. We're going to be there. TWS is going to be there with Thaddeus Godfrey in the Olympics.
Win that whole, 2020. I didn't
know he did martial arts. Yeah. That nigga's like, we could be talking about him like Chuck Norris in a couple years. Man. They were like,
The Rock meets Bruce Lee and shit out this motherfucker. I seen that picture. I was like, ain't this nigga too big to be doing martial arts and shit? But I mean, he's fucking kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah. So yeah, shout out to Daddy. Shout out to my brother's in law. My brother-in-law T, about to have a young one, about to have a little girl, Faith. So I'm hoping by the time I go home for Thanksgiving, I get a chance to meet her.
Oh, you say y'all gonna make the trip?
Yeah, I bought my ticket today. I'm going. Oh, prayers out to 1-3 and Sophia. They had a fire in the house. Man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So everybody made it out safe, but, you know, house's got to get
prepared. Didn't they just get back on vacation?
These niggas are always on vacation. They're going to the Maldives for Thanksgiving.
I looked online. These niggas was on a boat. I was like, well, shit, happy for you. And then he's like, oh, get back, drop the bags, fire.
Hey, we on a boat. Crazy. And we about to go back on another boat. Hey, one day that'll be how we get this shit popping, you know. But LeVar Ball, like, I can't say I don't wish that was my pops, but yeah, at some point you gotta let your son shine. Like, just
it's his turn.
Let him have
what he gotta do. Hand over the mantle. Yeah,
I don't know.
It is what it is. But that the middle son, what's the middle son? Is he LiAngelo? The middle son, LiAngelo? The young one is LiAngelo, right? The middle one is
LaMelo? Like,
whatever, anyway. Have you ever heard that nigga talk?
Nah. To be honest with you, I've never heard Lonzo talk.
I swear to God, the middle one sounds like...
Uh-oh. Oh, that's right. You watched the show. My bad.
What's his name? Whoa, hold on. Football player. With the bald head with the big earring. The black dude. Elsom. What's his name?
Oh, I don't know.
Not Latrell. Anyway, sound like that nigga had like 6 or 7 of those concussions back to back.
That's fucked up, man.
Oh, no, I gotta find it. This the way this nigga talk?
He's only a kid. He's only...
That nigga ain't no kid.
He's just a boy. You ought not to say that about him. You're just a boy. Mm. That shit is crazy,
but yeah.
Some people call it a modern blade. I call it a sling blade. Mm.
Oh, man. No, the young one is LaMelo.
So is LiAngelo in the middle? Every time I hear them joints, you know what I think? I think about Orange Julius for some reason. I don't know why. Like, their name just reminds me of Orange Julius every time. I want an Orange Julius right now. They used to have an Orange Julius in Iverson Mall. I miss Iverson Mall.
He talked like a 13 frogs having a party in his throat.
Alright, pause. But, hey. Alright, so fantasy football, though. Rich,
I suck.
But you number one in the other joint in the
I think I had
from the other job we used to work mm-hmm. Freescale. You number one in the Freescale league.
And I went in there after I went 2 hours for Joe and set my thing, and then I kept going back. And then when I go to Yahoo, for instance, it would take me to that one, and I'm like, all right, update, and then I go to the other one. An update, but I ended up drafting way better in the other one than I did in the 4 Joe League. But I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, my wife is number one. Tammy, hold on, grandma knows best. Yeah, number one.
Looked like Yesenia was mad about it too. I was reading the comments on the post. Yeah, like, oh, shit.
Haters want to hate. Haters want to hate.
And Manny up there, he was trying to sneak by.
And I'm telling you, like, Manny is. I was proud of my wife for winning. Like, I didn't know how to feel, because if Tammy had lost, I could have jumped in the first place. But I really, I think playoff teams, you know, and that don't include you right now, Rich, mm-hmm. but playoff teams in our league, we need to get together and we need to keep Manny out the playoffs, because that nigga team is crazy. And if he gets in, I think it's over. Pause. But, yeah, man, I'm having a much better fantasy year than it started out to be. So I'm enjoying that.
So I don't want to interrupt you. Just looked at Facebook. I got to say, Alexander Anderson, Mr. Celebrity Hair Corp.
Yeah.
I appreciate the post he just made on Facebook.
All right.
He said, "I don't mean to disturb anyone, but I did send out an invitation to my new business page." Thank you. Y'all see these damn posts put up there? Oh, I got a new episode 2 weeks later. Oh shit, you got a podcast? You saw the post. Got scrolling by my shit.
Yeah, I be going hard on the post. Like, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know.
That shit was Hicko Trees arguing with Jared about the fact that she likes nuts with her candy corn.
Hey, I'm just saying. I was just trying to be. I'm just trying to help family out. Like, you can't be talking about
as soon as I read that shit,
candy corn like, with the nuts. Like, hey.
I was like, I know she want to pause this. I'm gonna let it rock for a minute.
Hey.
Maybe she didn't realize it. Also, another motherfucking sidebar. She just got a haircut. Guess who cut her hair? Motherfucking Clipper Beast.
Oh man, so she got an appointment before you did?
This motherfucker got an appointment before I did.
She slipped in on you.
That's some sexist, racist, status bullshit.
Hey, shout out to Clipper Beast. I just got my hair cut yesterday night. So that's my man.
Yeah, I got an appointment tomorrow at 3. I'm gonna be on time. Don't have nobody in that seat. But yeah, I'm gonna be there tomorrow. Went on the app, booked it. So we'll see what happens.
I got to shout out the Hair Lounge, man. Like, if you in the Austin area, the Austin, Pflugerville, Cedar Park, whatever the fuck else is around this. Yeah, if you in the area, hit up Hair Lounge, man. Like, because not only do you get a cut, but every time I go in there, they have something either some interesting music playing or some or good learn video going. You learn some shit. You got a lot of
the artwork is good too.
The artwork is dope.
Her name, they got it. She got a few pieces in there now, but I was like, yeah. Okay.
The artwork is dope. Like everything is just it's a positive environment. You're gonna come out there feeling good about yourself, not only, you know, because of your haircut or your hairdo, but just because of what you know, the camaraderie and the experience that you had while you was in there. So that, yeah, the Hair Lounge is a dope place. I you know, shout out to Clipper Beast and Champ, Kalen.
I think Champ ended up going back to school. I think Kalen is in like a band or something like that. So everybody doing, you know, doing their thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen Champion there the last couple times I've been in there. But that's it. All right, man. I think we've shot the shit for long enough.
Yeah, I'm tired. I gotta go home. Tomorrow's gonna be another long day. Renee been helping out her parents, so I gotta drive her over there at 6 a.m. so I can make it to work on time.
And I'm on call, and I think we got a crazy thing happening tonight, so I'm gonna be on the phone for the majority of the night.
Yeah, I hate being on call.
But anyway, it's been dope getting back. We're going to get this episode out to y'all. But in the meantime, it's a lot of darkness out there. Fuck the darkness. Be the light.
Peace.
Peace.